Amen, amen. Well, how's everyone doing this Sunday morning? I'm excited to be here. So good to be in the house of God today. We're going to get into this word that I've been thinking about for the past 2 weeks. As we continue our second part of our series, Piece of Cake. And this series is all about making your life easier. How many of you can say, Pastor, right now I need my life to be a little bit easier right now? See, a lot of us either are lying to ourselves and saying, no, my life is just fine. But some of you here can be honest enough to say, Pastor, I wish that my life could be easier with my kids. I wish my life could be easier with my finances, my marriage. Whatever area of your life you wish and desire to become easier. Today we're going to talk about why God allows things to be so difficult and what God is trying to teach you. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 as we go there. Don't we all stand for the word of God this morning? 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 7. This is what the word of God says. Just verse 7 alone is powerful. And it happened. So why don't you just say that with me? It happened. Come on, like you want to hear it this morning. It happened. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it happened to me too. Go ahead. It happened. So it happened after a while that the brook dried up. How many of you are going through a dry season right now? I'm going to teach on that a little bit. A dry season. Because there had been no rain in that land. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. So Elijah was like, God, why do you want me to go? Now let me just give you a quick message. I'm not going to just go into it, but sometimes God allows things to dry up because he's trying to get you somewhere else. So there's a certain place that used to work out for you, but then when God just closes the door, dries it up, it's because he has somewhere else for you to go, because he has another miracle he wants to do, and God is up to something better. So give it up and stop complaining when what used to work doesn't work any longer. God is up to something good. Amen? Amen. That is not my sermon. That's a whole other message. But that was for someone here this morning that's just saying, well, I miss the old church, and I miss the old days, and I miss this, and I don't know why God just closed that door. Sometimes God allows the brook to dry up because he's trying to get you somewhere else. Can I keep going? So Elijah was wondering, God, you fed me with the birds. You provided this amazing brook during a drought, and I had all the water in the world, and all of a sudden it is dried up. And God said to him in verse 8, he says, see, listen, the word came. And he said, I've commanded this widow to provide for you. You know that God will always provide. Amen. In any season. So he arose and went. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there and she was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Remember, there's a drought. There's no water. But notice this. And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, please bring me some bread. Just bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar, and see, little sarcasm there, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Man, this is a great woman right here. She's just positive. She says, can't you see I'm just preparing my last meal to die? And I thought this woman was crazy, but I realized that sometimes, even in my own life, I think I'm reaching the end, but God is up to something else. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said. But make a little small, notice what he says, makes a small cake from it first. Elijah said, Give me some cake. That's why I got this message. Give me some cake. Say, give me some cake and bring it to me. You can't talk to a woman like that today. I'm telling you, I'm just going to. He's like, woman, go bake me a cake. She's like, well, you bake your own cake. She was from Miami. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin, the one that was too small she was complaining about, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar run out of oil dry until the day of the Lord sends rain. So God says, listen, your dry season is over. Your dry season, come on, say that with me. Dry season is over. Let's pray. Father, I bless and I ask that you bless this word this morning. Give us this joy as we open up your word and as we talk about our dry season. We know, Lord, that life is not always a piece of cake. But sometimes you want us to give you a piece of cake. So help us understand this word in Jesus' name. Amen. And you guys can sit down and enjoy this word. We're going to talk about this morning a subject of piece of cake. You ever heard that expression before? See, last Sunday we talked about having your cake and eating it too, how you can't do it. But this week we're going to talk about the expression piece of cake. See, Webster defines this. It's in the dictionary. Piece of cake is a phrase that literally means when something is easy, when something is pleasant, and it's not difficult for you. So when you can say that maybe today your life is far from a piece of cake. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, my life is far from easy. My life is not so pleasant. And in fact, it's actually pretty difficult what I'm going through right now. And then I started thinking about this phrase and I said, something doesn't add up. And this is how I think and process things. But when I disagree with something, I can't let it go. And some of you know that. So I was thinking about this phrase, piece of cake. And I thought about it. And, you know, baking a cake is not easy. For some of you, like, yeah, it is, but not for me. Not for some of you. So the term piece of cake is not talking about the process of making it, because it requires oil and eggs and flour, and it's a lot of messes and milk and everything spills, and it's not pretty. So the idea behind the phrase piece of cake is not talking about the process of making the cake, but the enjoying of the after the process. That's the piece of cake. That's the pleasant part. That's the easy part. The easy part is just grabbing the cake and eating it and enjoying it. The pleasant part is after you've made it, after you've gone through all the baking and the flours and the milk and the eggs and the butter and whatever, and after you work everything together and put it in the oven and take it out and let it cool down, after all of that ordeal, then you enjoy the cake. So it's actually not the process that's a piece of cake. It's the after the process that's the piece of cake. And you're saying, Pastor, what's the point? You see, that's how God works. See, God says, in order for your life to get easier, sometimes you have to go through the difficult. In order for your life to be more pleasant, sometimes I have to let you go through a season that it's not so pleasant. So maybe right now your life is not easy. Maybe your life right now is not so pleasant. But could it be that God is just taking you through a process and He's making something in you, because He's going to get you through this difficult time, through this difficult season, through this difficult process, because He's going to bring about something pleasant. So God says, listen, I let you go through difficulty in order to make your life easier. See, I don't like this about God. The truth is, I want God to make my life easier now. I want God to make it pleasant for me now. I want God to make my life more enjoyable now. So I tell God, God, can you skip the process and get right to the cake? Can we skip all the difficult times and seasons and all these things that aren't pleasant in our lives? And can you just give it to me already so I can enjoy it? But that is not how God works. See, God will put you through the difficult, through the process, through the struggle. And can we get real? Sometimes the messy. Because He's working all things for good for those who love Him. You know what the problem with us is? I'm saying us because we're all in this mess. We want the cake, but we don't want the process to get it. We want the pleasant, but we don't want the process. No one in their right mind, when they're going through the process that's difficult, says, "This is awesome." The truth is, we're saying, "Why, God, why? Get me out of this now, Lord. How long am I going to be going through this?" Even all, you read the Bible, so many people kept saying, "God, how long? How long do I have to be here?" Even Jesus looked at God on the cross and said, "Why?" It's a process for redemption. The truth is, when you're baking a cake, the process takes work. So in order for you to get to the piece of cake, the pleasant and the easy and the enjoyable, you have to get to work. But we don't like to work. We don't want to work in order to get to the pleasant. We just like to complain about it. And we say, "Man, I wish my life was easier. I wish it was easier to pay my bills." You know, that takes work. You literally have to go to work. You got to get a job. Pay your bills. It takes work to save. Amen? It takes work to say no to the shoes and the purse and the thing that you need. It takes work, but see, this is what happens when you're going through that process. It may be difficult for you to say, "I can't buy it right now because I got to save." But in the aftermath, when your life is a piece of cake and it's easier, you're going to thank God for the process back there. Some of us say, "Man, I wish my marriage was easier." You know, my parents are celebrating 41 years today of marriage. Mom, was it a piece of cake? See, we say, "I want a better marriage. I want it to be easier. I want it to just be pleasant." But you know that marriage takes work. Marriage takes work. It's a process. And sometimes you feel like you just want to return it and say, "She doesn't work and he's not working out and I'm just going to get a divorce and we're just going to leave and forget this marriage." And sometimes I have couples tell me, "Pastor, I thought it would be easier." Oh, you wanted the cake. But you didn't want the process. Sometimes you wish your health was easier. But that takes work. Sometimes you got to say no to the cake to get healthier. Sometimes as Christians, we say, "Man, I wish it was easier to serve God. I wish it was easier." But it takes work to follow Jesus. It's not easy. "Oh, I just wish it was easier and more pleasant. And why is it so difficult?" Because God says, "It's just a process. It's just a process. As you get to the work, and as you apply the work into that area of your life you wish were easier, you're going to get through the difficult and it will become easier." The problem is we give up when it gets too difficult. We give up when it's not so pleasant. But if you can just hold on and not give up and stay faithful through the process, because we're during the process of making the cake, it is not pleasant. It doesn't even look desirable. It's a mess. But the reason you're going through the process is because you know what's going to happen after and what's going to come out of it. And as Christians, we have to stay faithful to the Lord during the process of difficult seasons because we know what's going to come out of it is good for His glory. This is why He says, stay faithful. See, life is not always a piece of cake. The widow's life here in the Bible was not. It was far from a piece of cake. There was nothing easy about her life. She had no husband. He died. And in that culture, that was the only source of income. So when she lost her husband, she lost her finances. She was losing her home. She was losing her hope because of everything she was going through. The Bible says she was going through a dry season. There was a severe drought. See, don't you love it when God makes things worse? She just lost her husband. She can't pay the bills. Everything is a mess, and she didn't know it was a process. And all of a sudden, dry season. Dry season. See, in the Bible, the word dry is not always used physically, but as a metaphor for hopelessness and empty. And I wonder if you're going through one of those seasons right now that it's just hopeless. See, you know you're hopeless because hope is the expectation of something better to come. So when you've lost hope and you're hopeless, you're telling yourself, it's never going to get better. My best days are behind me. And from here on over, and from here on forward, it's just going to be difficult. So you're going through a season of hopelessness. You're going through a season of emptiness. And we all go through dry seasons. We go through dry seasons in our relationships. We go through dry seasons with God. Everyone that tells you, I'm always this passionate. I'm always on fire for the Lord. I'm always. No, you're not. We go through dry seasons where it's hard to pick up the Bible. It's hard to come to church. And I love people that still work towards God during those dry seasons. When you still pray, but you don't feel it. When you're still worshiping, but it's not in you. Those are the people that God says, they love me because look how dry the season is. And they're still faithful. We go through dry seasons as a church. We go through dry seasons in life. And can I tell you why dry seasons are so dangerous? Because the devil loves them. Do you know that in the Bible, it teaches us that the devil loves dry places? Luke chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus warned the people. And He said, when an unclean what? Spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what? Dry places. Seeking what? Rest is a term that means comfortable. You know where the devil is most comfortable? When you're dry. I wonder right now, the devil looks at you and says, oh, you look comfortable, girl. You're dry. You don't worship anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. You barely come to church. And when you do, you got a dry face. You know what I'm talking about? And the devil just makes himself comfortable in your life. He loves to work in the lives of dryness. That's why if you realize, if you recognize that right now you've been dry lately, right now, man, this marriage is dry. We got to work on it because the devil wants it. My spiritual life with the Lord is not what it used to be. It's pretty dry right now. I got to do something about it. I'm going through a dry season right now and it's dangerous because I know the devil wants me dry. This is why the first time the devil attacked Jesus was where? The desert. A dry place. It's where he would try to put doubt in Jesus. It's where he tried to put pride in Jesus. It's where he tried to get Jesus to forfeit his calling and his destiny, because the devil loves dry places. And if he can just get you in a dry season, he knows he can conquer the destiny that God has for you. So he wants you dry. So if you're going through a dry season where you're not feeling it with your friendships and church and God, or whatever area in your life has gone dry, don't you let it stay dry. That's my message. It goes dry like that brook. But don't let it stay dry. You see, Jesus was in that desert for 40 days, which tells me it's just a season. It's just a season. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but maybe you're going through a dryness right now. You're going through this dry spell. You're going through a dry season. But I'm here to tell you right now, it's just a season. You have made it a lifestyle. You have taken a season from God and made it into a lifestyle, and now you've gone from a dry season to becoming a dry person. I see your face right now. I'm going to look at you. But your face says it all. You're just dry. You ever been with a dry person? They're like, it's like a dry sponge. You ever notice that dry sponges, when they're around water, what do? They just suck. You ever have people that just literally suck the joy right out of you? They just want, well, the minute you're around them, it's like, why do I feel so miserable? Because I'm here. And I'm going to tell you how bad my day was. I'm going to tell you how bad people are. I'm going to tell you who hurt me. I'm going to tell you who I'm mad at. I'm going to tell you how unfair God is. I'm going to tell you who I hate. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with my body, what hurts, what aches, what's sick. I'm going to tell you everything. Because I'm dry. Who wants to be with a person like that? I want to be around people that are just full of joy, even though they're going through a dry season. I love the people that I know are going through messed up things, and they're still positive. They're not in denial. But they're not letting themselves be dry where the devil can attack. And I know some of you dry people, well, I'm not dry. Let me prove it. Let me test you if you're dry. And I'm going to have your neighbor determine whether you're dry or not. So if the answer is yes to this question, you just nudge him, say, dry. Dry. Number one, notice this woman. She just had pity. Pity. You ever have a friend that just loves those? She's awesome in throwing those pity parties. It's the best pity party planner. Notice the second Elijah, a man of God, comes. This was an honorable thing when Elijah showed up. Everyone was like, man, it's Elijah. Man, Elijah, come to my house. Let me make you a room. They fed him. It was awesome because it was like, wow, a man of God and God's presence is here. But she was around the presence of God and Elijah, and all she did was, I'm going to die. And I wonder, man, could you be around the presence of God and still be pitiful? Yes. Notice, he was like, hey, girl.
Hey.
What you doing?
Just picking up sticks to make my last meal because I'm going to die. Me and my son. Because some people don't want to die alone. They want to take you with them.
You ever notice that? They don't want to be pitiful by themselves. They want to get you pitiful. So she dragged her son in this. So be careful, because that's a little hint that you might be a dry person. You're just always talking about the sad days. And you're giving sob stories. And listen, I'm not talking about you being with a friend, because I love being around friends and pastor friends of mine that I can go to and say, hey, I'm going through this right now. I'm hurting right now. They don't say, David, you're being dry right now. You're being dramatic right now. David, you're over. No, they cry with me. They pray with me. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the people that every opportunity you're with them, it's like life is terrible. And she's become pitiful. She's just gathering sticks. The second thing, if you've passed the pitiful test and you say, no, I'm not pitiful, then maybe the second test, you know that God's telling you you're a dry person, is discontentment. You know that through the context of this story, the Bible says that she was going through a dry season. There was a severe drought, and in those severe droughts, no one had food. But did you notice that this woman told Elijah, I only have oil. I only have this jar. I only have flour. Do you know that that was more than what most other people had? Do you know she should have been grateful that she had everything she needed to provide and eat and have a miracle, but she was too busy saying only? Because some of you, the reason you're so disconnected from God is because you're discontent. And the reason you're discontent is because you put the word only in all the blessings of God. And I'm going to preach a sermon on this, but let me give you a little appetizer. Any area of your life you put the word only, you're not going to appreciate. It's only my husband. You're not going to appreciate him. It's only my job. You're not going to appreciate it. Well, it's only church. You're not going to appreciate it. See, the word only means not enough. And some of us become so dry because we focus on what we're not, what we don't have, what God hasn't done for us, where God hasn't given us yet, what miracle we haven't achieved yet. And we're just looking at where we're empty, and we are ignoring what we do have, what God has given us. The fact that you have breath in your lungs is a blessing from God. But you seem to be looking around and saying, I don't have enough. See, dry people are discontent. They ignore everything else around them that's a blessing. That's how the devil got Adam. He had the whole world, literally the whole world's yours. And the devil had to get Adam and Eve to focus on what they couldn't have. The second they focused on what they couldn't have and what they didn't have, they quickly forgot about everything else they did. That's discontentment. The devil got David this way. David was a man anointed by God. And the reason that he had an affair with Bathsheba and murdered her husband was simply because God told David through the prophet Nathan, was it not enough? If it wasn't, David, I would have given you more. But the reason the devil tricked him was because he got David to focus on the one girl that was off limits. And that's how guys think. They want what they can't have. And I want to throw the girls in there too. You girls think like that too. See how the devil works. So I'm going to assume that you passed the pity test. I'm going to assume that you passed the discontent test. But Elijah said, don't be afraid. Do you know that dry people are consumed by fear? You go to sleep afraid. You wake up afraid. Your mind is constantly imagining the worst case scenario. See, she was so afraid that she was going to die, she started declaring it with her mouth. Let me tell you what God is telling me right here, that sometimes the devil wants to get what's in here out through here. Because the devil knows there's power in the tongue. The power of life and death is not in the mind. It's in how you speak. And she went from imagining the death to saying it's going to happen. See, that's a sign that you're dry. You begin to declare horrible things. You wake up and you cough. It's cancer! I Googled it! Don't ever Google stuff happening in your body. Don't do it. Especially after 30, don't do it. You see, the devil tries to get you to speak worst case scenario. What was her worst case scenario? Die. What was she saying? I'm gonna die. The devil wants you in fear because dry people, not only are they pitiful and discontent, but they also are consumed by fear. How many of you are passing the test yet? Are you saying you're all dry? The last test. You go from discontent to disconnect. Dry people disconnect from people. Dry people, and I know this because widows and women, they would gather together. Ruth and Naomi gathered together when they had no man. She was by herself. You know you're dry when you're just disconnecting from people you once loved, people you once admired. Dry people are loners. Dry people just want to be by themselves because, hey, if there's going to be anyone with me, it's because they're going to die with me. And you go from being discontent to having a disconnect. And you know the ultimate test of dryness. It's not just when you're disconnected from people, but when you're disconnected from God. Verse 12, it says it. She is disconnected from God. Verse 12, she says this amazing truth. So she said, as the Lord, your God, lives. He ain't my God. He was her God, by the way. And I know this because the Bible says that he commanded her to feed him, meaning she had some type of relationship where she would hear the voice of God. So you know that you could be in a relationship with God and still go through a season that you feel disconnected from him. And she was so honest. Maybe she slipped it out. But she said, that's your God. Do you know, I'm just going to make a quick note, read the whole story. This is why after the miracle, God had to kill her son. So that when he would revive, she says, man, he is my God. If you're disconnected from God, he's going to put you through such a process where he's going to remind you, I'm your God. You may not want to say it. You may not want to feel it. But God is always going to be your God. But she said, that's your God. Not my God. And maybe she had this disconnect from God because of the process and the difficulty of her life not being a piece of cake. So if you're going through this pitiful, discontent, fearful, disconnected season, you have become dry. And God hates it, and the devil loves it. Who am I preaching to today? You're saying, Pastor, I didn't pass any of them. I have pity parties. I'm discontent. I'm always speaking what I fear. You ever had the worst fear come over you for no reason? What do you think that comes from? And the reason, you're saying, well, it's the devil, yeah. You know why it's the devil? Because he has found comfort in you because you're dry. Get yourself, that's why the Holy Spirit refers to himself as water. Because he knows that when you are just bathed in the presence of God, the devil can't touch you. Notice where you get in trouble is when you're disconnected from God. I've never met a person that says, the worst time in my life when I was just sinning and in sin and rebelling was when I was the closest to Jesus. Doesn't happen. So maybe today I have people here that are saying, Pastor, I'm dry. I'm a dry husband. I'm a dry wife. I'm a dry friend. I'm a dry church leader. Hey, you could be a leader in this church and you're dry. I understand it. Hey, Pastor, how do I get out of this dry season? I'm tired of living with this bad, pitiful attitude. I'm tired of being consumed with fear. And it's gone to the point that I'm even speaking it out of my life and my mouth. I'm tired of the pity. I'm tired of the disconnect that I have from God. I'm tired of the discontentment and being ungrateful and always focused on what God hasn't done and what I don't have. And I have forgotten what God has blessed me with. How do I fix it? Your life may be dry because God is trying to bring something out of you. You may be going through a dry season. Verse 14, let me just tell you the promise from God. God says in verse 14, He says, "Thus says the Lord, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry." God says, listen, you may have been dry for a season, but I can change that. You may have come to this church dry, but today, in the next few minutes, God can change it. You can leave completely out of that dry spell. And I know you're dry because if not, we would not be preaching this today. But God knows there is someone here today that's dry. And life is not a piece of cake. But maybe God is saying, life will become a piece of cake when you go through this difficult process. I'm just baking you right now. But you got to put the work in. Well, Pastor, how do I get out of this dry season with God and my marriage, my kids, my life, everything? Well, there's a test. You guys want to take it? You failed the first test, you're dry. But here's this woman. Now picture this. This woman. I'm going to name her Tiffany. I don't know why. Tiffany. And Tiffany is terrible. She's terrible Tiffany. Terrified Tiff. And Tiffany's out there, and I believe with all my heart, I can't prove this, but in the context, I just feel this happens. She's somehow, the one that says he's not my God, somehow she's praying to him, because otherwise, why would God have spoken and commanded of her? Feed the widow. Hey, widow, feed a man that comes into you. So I love Tiffany because Tiffany's praying, Lord, I feel pitiful. Lord, I'm disconnected. I'm discontent. My husband's dead. I have no income. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. My child's going to die. I don't have enough. And she's a, Lord, and she has a pitiful prayer. You know those moments your prayers are pitiful? God, why are you doing this to me? Any Tiffany's in the house? Don't act spiritual today. Tiffany's praying. And she says, God, I want my life to be easier. I know I've prayed that. I prayed that. I remember 2 years ago, we were planning, I think it was some type of lunch after service. I don't know what holiday it was. But some of you might remember this. The night before, there was a huge storm. We just set up the roof. And the roof was just about to fly across Hialeah. And they called me and said, Pastor, you got to go and you got to hold down the roof. It was me, my brother, my dad. It was someone else. And I was just holding the roof through when there's hurricane. I don't know what happened. And I remember praying and said, Lord, I'm like shaking the roof. Why is it so hard on me? Why couldn't you give me one easy weekend? I remember that. To prove to you that sometimes we pray and we say, and I love what my parents say to me all the time. You know, son, when I'm discouraged and I have my pity party, she goes, well, you know it's never easy for us. Thanks, Mom. That's encouraging to hear. So Tiffany's praying. She's like, Lord, I want it easier. Maybe you're praying that today. You're saying, God, I want it easier. I'm tired of going through this difficulty. It's always hard on me. And it feels like it's so much easier for everyone else. And then God speaks. I love this because the Bible says God commanded. So God, He's aware. Just like God is aware of your dry season. He's aware of your problems. He's aware of your situation. He's in tune with your pain. And when God speaks, He says, feed someone. See, if I'm Tiffany, I'm like, no, God, you didn't hear. I need food. But see, God was testing her. You know why? Because let me give you dry test number 5. I hid it from you. Dry people are selfish. And when they're going through a season, they close the doors on helping everyone else out. Hey, can you come over and help me? No! Don't you see what I'm going through? I got my own problems. Go! How dare you ask me for help? The nerve of some people. So Tiffany is praying. And Tiffany's like, God, I need help. I want food. Okay. Hey, Tiffany, guess what? When a guy comes over, it's going to be Elijah. And I want you to feed him. So let me tell you what God will test you in. Could you serve others when it feels like I've stopped serving you? Could you be a blessing to others when it feels like I have not blessed you? Because sometimes we feel the only way we can be a help to others and a blessing to others if it's our lives are easy and set in place and God is good to us. Hey, God, you're good to me. I'll be good to others. But God says, no, I want you to be good to others even when I have not been good to you. And that's the test that I've gone through as a pastor for 8 years. Could you serve and preach every Sunday at your lowest point? And I said, yes, Lord. And the devil's like, no, you can't. David, because you're dry. And I said, yeah, devil, but even Jesus defeated you in a dry place. So Tiffany's mad at God. I believe that's where the disconnect happened. She had the faith to pray. She prays to God, Lord, help me. And God says, no, help someone else. Imagine you're praying God for a financial blessing. And He says, hey, empty out your bank account and give it to someone else. And you're praying for a man to come into your life. You're tired of being lonely and single. And God says, hey, go help that your friend plan her wedding. You're praying for a baby. Saying, God, I've been trying and trying and trying and I can't have a child. And God says, hey, why don't you help babysit that baby and let the other couple go out? But God will test you in your service before He can serve you. So God tells Tiffany, hey, stop thinking about yourself right now. Elijah's coming and he's hungry. Feed him. I love this. Let me tell you, verse 11, it gets crazy. Verse 11, Elijah comes and
I gotta tell you a story though about this guy. Where's mom at? Mom, dad, Carlos, I saw you, Carlos. You remember this day, Carlos? Carlos, my best friends when we were kids. We were on vacation together. And my mom, we were young. I wasn't a pastor yet. I gotta throw that in there. And we were pigs, man. It was like 5 guys, 6 guys, 7. I mean, we were loaded with guys all the time. We were all a bunch of bros just hanging out in this small little beach apartment. You know, that was our vacation back in the day. You remember those days going to the beach for the week, whatever? Mom was lecturing me, Danny, Lewis, and Carlos for the mess we were leaving. There was towels everywhere. There was food everywhere, whatever. We're just sitting on the bed, and Mom is just, she's giving it to us. And Enrique comes. When mom is heated, and he comes in all confident, you remember this? And he says, where's dinner? And me, Daddy, Carl, and Lou were like, we're out. We gotta go. Save yourself. Enrique, no. It was the craziest thing. Well, I tell you this because that's this moment in the Bible. Elijah comes. He's like, where's dinner? She's gathering sticks. She's crying. She's mad at God. She's tired of life. And Elijah comes and says, give me some water. Now be honest, if that were you, you'd say, get your own water. Or if that were you, did you not get the memo? There's the drought. There's no rain. And whatever water I have is mine. But I love that the test that Elijah gives her. Verse 11, notice, he was going to get it. He called to her and said, please, bring me a little water. A little, he said a little water. Bring me a little water. And she got up and she went. Why? Because sometimes we're obedient in the little. We don't complain when it's a little problem. And the second she gets up, she's fine with the fact that Elijah just said, hey, give me a little water. She's like, okay, I can do a little bit. See, some of you, you want God to do much, but you want to give him little. And God can't do much with the little you want to give him. You're saying, God, I want you to do a lot in my life. I want you to bless my life. But don't expect me to give you much. If you want your marriage to work, you can't put a little into it. If you want to raise godly kids, you can't put a little into that. If you want to get the best out of your church home, you can't give a little to it. Well, I'll go, I'll come if I have time, I'll give if I have it, I'll give it a little. Then you're wondering why God is putting you through the dry season you never get out. So Tiffany's getting up the sticks, and we're going to close with this one. She's getting up the sticks. She says, give me a little. She says, I can do a little. And right when she's walking, he says, oh, by the way, can you also bring me some cake? And she loses it. Verse 12, she loses it. She said, as the Lord your God lives, because remember she's mad at him, I don't have bread. Tiffany gets the violin. I don't have bread. Only a little flour. This little bin. Little oil. You're ever telling God what you're doing is too little? Can't you see I'm gathering sticks here so I can die? You know, at first I felt bad for Tiffany when she said this. Because I said, man, Elijah, man, you're messed up. Can't you see she's preparing her funeral? Like some of you are coming to church, you're prepared for your funeral. Saying it's over, it's dead, it's hopeless. But then I realized what Elijah was saying. And what he's telling you today. So you're so busy complaining. And Tiffany wasn't lying to him. She didn't have bread. But here's the real word from God. She had what she needed to make the bread. She had the flour and the oil and all the ingredients to make the bread. See, God is telling me today, when I read this word, I said, I realize what you're telling our church. We already have what it takes to have a breakthrough in our lives. We already have what it takes to experience that miracle you're waiting for. You have what it takes. You have it. It's in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you have it right now. Stop waiting for it. You have it. It's in you. The problem is, you got to get to work.
He said, oh, you have it, girl, but you got to get in the kitchen and work. See, God says to us, you have it. You're just lazy. Her problem was herself. All she kept saying was this. She says, as your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, only a little bit of oil. Don't you realize? She says, I don't have it. And he's like, yeah, you do. You have everything you need to accomplish what I'm commanding you to do. Because God says, whatever I command you to do, I will provide for. And you have it. You just stopped working. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for, here's the big problem, myself. You see what her problem is? Tiffany, all you do is think about yourself. I don't have bread. I don't have oil. I don't have what it takes. I'm gonna die. I'm preparing my sticks, and I only have enough for myself. See, dry people are selfish people. And they only think about themselves. But God says, if you can take what I have given you and provided you and what is in you for others, I can bless you. So you bless. And I'll bless. You give and I'll give. You serve and I'll serve. And you may think it's not enough, because sometimes what little we have is enough, but the devil says it's too little. That's why I love this church, because we have all types of people and they're doing little things, but when you put them all together, it's accomplishing something glorious. From the guy that's standing at that door, security, from the person that's pouring coffee, from the person that's setting up the stage, it might be little, but it's enough for a miracle. That's why I believe and declare that God's going to do something amazing in this church, because we're full of little. I love it when people now say, oh, you're a little church. I'm like, oh, I know. But God can do some big things with little. So here's what I'm going to leave you with. You're going to leave this church tonight, today, and you're going to say, you're going to look at your life and say, I still feel dry. Pastor, it didn't work. There's something wrong with you. You're going to leave today and say, it's not enough. I need more. You're going to leave today and the devil's still going to have you pitiful, feeling sorry for yourself. You're going to leave today and still be discontent with what you don't have, what's not enough. You're going to leave today and still be consumed by fear of the worst and speaking it out of your mouth, living depressed and lonely and discouraged. You're going to leave today feeling disconnected from God. You're going to leave like you came to an event, but not a revival. That's your choice today. See, I'm going to tell you, last night I was driving for hours back home. And I realized what the Lord was speaking into my heart as I stayed there silent. And the Lord just shared with me in my heart, David, the choices you make today will be the experience you have tomorrow. And I realized as I cried there in the car, I said, Lord, you're right. What I choose today will be what I face tomorrow. And God was telling this widow, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose yourself? Are you going to choose to stay pitiful? Are you going to choose to stay discontent? Are you going to choose to live in fear? Are you going to choose to be disconnected from God? Or are you going to trust me with what I commanded you to do? Because I know sometimes when God commands you to do something, it doesn't make sense. And you're thinking, God, what about me? Don't you see my pain? Don't you see my life? Don't you see my struggle? And you're telling me to serve them?
And God says, it's a test. That if you can just trust me with what you have, I'll give you such a downpour that you'll never have a dry season again. But what are you going to do? Are you going to expect a lot from God while you continue to give him little? Are you going to leave today saying, God, it's not enough? Are you going to live here and just stay here in this place of having what it takes for a breakthrough and a miracle, but never experiencing it because you never got it to work? So she went in that kitchen. She got everything that wasn't enough, everything that she complained about, everything. And she made it together. She put it in the oven. She took it out and she said, here. Now things are officially worse than before. Because at least some, I had a little bit. But now I can't even die full. I gotta die hungry now. Thanks, God. And she looked in the kitchen and the jar was full. She's like, wait a minute. I just poured that, but... And she put it in another jar and she looked at the jar and it was full. She said, wait a minute. And she put that and it was full and it was full and it was full and God was just pouring. Don't you want God to just keep pouring into your life? And the Bible says, you know when it's going to stop? When the rain comes. So it's going to only get better from here. Because you chose, Tiffany, to be faithful even when you were pitiful. You chose to obey me, even when you didn't like it. Let's all stand to our feet today as we close. We're going to pray together as a church. Because maybe your life is not a piece of cake. You're saying, God, I'm tired. And it seems like all you do is bless others and then you tell me to bless others, so I don't understand why you keep blessing others and not me. And I don't understand, Lord. But maybe you came to this church and you can be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm pitiful. I feel like giving up. I confess I've been complaining too much. Saying, Lord, I'm discontent. The devil has me focus on what I don't have, where I'm not yet. Some of you, you came in this church and you're living with fear. Fear just consumes you to the point that you begin to speak it into your life. And it went from your mind to your tongue. And the rest of you are saying, God, I'm just disconnected from you. It doesn't feel like you're my God anymore. I love that God still worked in Tiffany's life, even though it wasn't technically her God. Because God knows you're just going through a season, but he can still work. But the real challenge here today is, am I going to leave this church service today and trust God with my life as I bless the lives of others? You want to get out of your dryness? Become a servant. Serve others, whether in your workplace, you're complaining about your job, I dare you to start being a blessing to that job. Watch how God has a downpour in your life. You're complaining about your husband, your wife. I challenge you to begin to serve them. Well, they don't deserve it. Neither do you. None of us deserve the grace and the blessings of God, but he can pour it out anyway. But I challenge you to say, no matter how she is or how he acts, I'm going to live to give and serve and be a blessing. Whatever's not enough, in God's eyes, is enough to get you your breakthrough. But trust him with what he commands. And Let me pray for you today. If you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me today. Would you just raise your hand and say, look, Pastor, just God bless you. Just tell the Lord right now what's in your heart. What is it that the Holy Spirit's pressing on you right now? Maybe he's commanding you to do something right now that seems like it's unreasonable and unfair. Maybe he's telling you to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it, to love someone who's loveless, to give to someone who doesn't deserve it. You'll never understand how your life can change when you get your mind off yourself and put it on others. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message. And I pray in this place, Lord, if we come in pitiful and discontent and fearful and disconnected, Father, and selfish, I pray in the name of Jesus you would bind that. Because right now, Lord, there are some dry people that the devil is in love with. But Father, let us leave this place completely experiencing the breakthrough and the miracle and the downpour. Because, Lord, you mass produce the oil, which is a symbol of your Holy Spirit. And you will give more of yourself than we deserve. But help us to get ourselves off our minds. For anyone here that wants the miracle that's right now impossible because doctors are telling you it will never happen. Your family has told you give up already. And you're feeling like your breakthrough, your miracle will never be possible. I challenge you right now to surrender that to the Lord and say, Lord, I give this to you, but make me a blessing now to others. And watch how the Lord releases into your life what you thought you'd never have. Father, as we receive this word, let us come out givers and servers and kill the pity and discontent and disconnection and fear and selfishness in all the dry people here today. And give us joy now. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Give God some praise today. I hope you guys enjoyed that word.